Welcome to Talk to Brazil with Tom Riach, the business connector to business in Brazil.
Welcome to Talk to Brazil, the business connection, a leading business podcast talking about business in the world. I'm Tom Riach, an American from Pittsburgh living in Brazil, known as the king of networking and connecting people from my studio here in Brazil. Today's guest is Sam Welbeck, and he's joining us from Cairo, Egypt. Sam Welbeck is an academic director of schools, a school principal, and Sam is a transformational leader, a builder of positive workplace cultures, has supported visionary leadership style and drive that permeates through organizations. He's a public speaker, and Sam has also co-authored two books on the use of AR, which is augmented reality, in the classroom. So Sam, welcome to Talk to Brazil, the Business Connection.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And for our audience, just to set the tone, I actually met Sam about a week ago, and we met on LinkedIn when I read a post of his where someone had shared, but he shares a story, shared a story of a four-year-old boy who made an official complaint of a violation at school. So Sam, just to get started, tell us a little bit about why the boy complained.
Right. Yeah, for those who maybe haven't seen the post, what basically happened is this very young man, he's in our youngest class at school, and he made a complaint because he felt embarrassed. We basically put a poster up of him, and it's not just a poster, it's an acrylic. So it's a permanent fixture on the corridor wall. And it came with, a nice big picture of his face. And there's a quote, which is a very sort of inspirational quote about education and why it's necessary. And just in the line, sort of leaving after saluting the flag on the way to the classroom, he'd seen that. And worse still, his peers had seen it. So the other kids in the class had seen it. And they're all pointing at it, look at Ali, it's Ali. And, some kids might have found that to be, something to be sort of proud of, but right. He didn't like the attention. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on him, well, no one asked me, how come it's there? And I'm the last to know. So he made this complaint to his teacher. His teacher told the head of the section, the head of the primary section, and it came up in a meeting. She told me about it. We, like I said in the post, we had a little giggle about it, first of all, talked about how cute it was that he sort of made this official complaint. And then, as I mentioned in the post, a couple of days later, I began to think, this kid's right.
Right.
I've taken away a right of his to not be embarrassed by his own image and the use of his own image, where and when. Mm-hmm. And it was at that point that I decided,
he's 4 years old, right?
4 years old. I mean, he's in our youngest class. And I decided, I've got to go and speak to him about this. So I went and saw his teacher. I asked her if it's okay, can I speak to Ali? His real name's not Ali, by the way. I'm just using that as as a cover for him. And, we went for a walk. We traveled the corridors. We talked about not just his picture, but the fact that there were other students as well. And I was trying to sell him the idea that, it's a great way to promote education and to show what we're doing. And it's good to use the actual pictures of kids in the school. And he wasn't convinced by that. Right. His main point was that no one had asked him. Mm-hmm. And he was absolutely right. So the first thing I did was I apologized. I then explained that his parents had given permission by signing the handbook, which we give all parents at the beginning of the year. And he said the most fascinating thing. He said, well, it's not their image. It's
mine. Kids are really smart today, huh?
They are so smart. They're so smart. I'd given up. At that point, I decided that I'd have to take it down. And I actually said, okay, Ali, you win. I should have asked you, and I will remove it. And we, on our way to his classroom, just as we approached the door, he kind of had a complete change of mind. He looked at me and he said, something, you can keep it. It's all right. You can keep it there. And he sort of skipped off to his desk, and it was a very, very sort of simple story. But for some reason, it really resonated with a lot of people on LinkedIn, and it caught fire and started getting shares, everywhere. And I started getting comments from people from all industries. I write mainly about leadership in education.
Right.
But one of the things I've realized is that when we, you know, as leaders in education, when we do talk about some of the things that we deal with and some of the issues that we have to cope with, they resonate with people in a lot of other industries and a lot of other fields and areas, you know, around the world. So it was a good way to open the discussion.
What we've seen, what you showed, Ali, taught you a lesson.
He did.
It taught all of us the way. It was a wake up call for many of us, because you're talking about the use in education as we see that, but as a leader in a business sense, we're there to educate. We're either educating the people coming in, we're constantly educating the people who are in our organization. We're hoping to educate clients or users or whatever. So it's nonstop education. But
absolutely,
to the point that really struck me on that, because on the same day that I read and saw your post, I was also part of a business meeting here in Brazil. And the essence of that meeting was a presentation by persons. And we were talking specifically about ethics and artificial intelligence. And we crossed around and through many of these points. And obviously the part of the discussion is, you know, the use of visual identity, who owns what, who could you ask, who needs to be asked. And so what rang the bell was that here's a four-year-old. And in many, I'm not talking about companies, but even with our own family, and as you said, in schools, we probably don't value, we don't think kids have a voice or feel things the way they actually do.
Absolutely.
And we may consider them just as a number, but they're people.
Absolutely. And now this is really what the post was about. I think, you know, for a lot of people, it was about child rights, but that isn't an area that I'm educated enough on or qualified enough to discuss. For me, it wasn't about child rights. It was a write-up about an event which highlighted listening to the voice of children. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, learning from them and teaching them that their opinions matter and that their feelings are valid. That's the message that I wanted to get across. What I then realized is this is an area which is so important to all of us. Mm-hmm. And what I'd done is I'd sparked a discussion about something which I think is far, far bigger. I think it resonated for educators in particular, because I think for us in the educational field, deep down, we know the real impact that these kinds of interactions, these sort of unscripted, non-curricular, real life opportunities can have on a person's learning journey. And schools are so well placed to help children sort of learn how to navigate some of these sort of unspoken challenges, if you like, that we face later in life, like speaking up for yourself, mm-hmm. you know, like saying you're using me or you're treating me in a way that makes me embarrassed, uncomfortable, or, you know, ebbs away at my dignity and I didn't consent to it, you know. And this is, I think, the reason it took fire. And this is something which I'd love to explore more now, because like you said, he's taught me something. And I did mention in the post, and we are going to be doing this, we're going to be looking at how we use images in school and how we can bring the voice of the children in those images to the table.
Well, I want to add on to that, because obviously we're talking about school, we're talking about children in a school. But if we take that same thing that we're just talking about and put that into a business, a corporate sense, right?
Yep.
What you did, what was done, was taking photos of the children who are in the school. That's pretty logical, using them for inspirational. But if we look at it from a company side, a corporate side, we can go into many settings and we have a picture on the wall that's our, you know, our customer service of the month person, the best whatever award, and the picture's up there. Then you might want to think, well, did that person give the authorization to do that? Or what was the reaction of being given something that people think is an award, of being posted in the corridor of the company or on the site of the company and using my image? And it could be out there for many things. Sometimes you put up and you see that on site. So you have the image of the best worker, the collaborator, whatever you want to call it, the month.
Yeah,
and then you get all the comments, the bad comments about the company.
Yeah,
and it's around the fact that there's a picture of just one, and it may not be about the person.
Exactly.
But we, you know, that person personifies the company, and the child, as Ali did, he personified the school.
Absolutely. You know, and look, what the danger is, 5 years down the line, somebody's Googling that person, and their name comes up, picture comes up, connected to things which maybe, you know, they wouldn't have liked,
right,
based on something they never consented on. And this is really, you know, like you said, this is where the danger is. It's a gray area. And we're going to have to talk about this because we're all involved, and it could affect every single one of us. But that's the internet for you today. That's technology for you today. It is, we're still figuring it all out.
Right.
I don't think anyone has all the answers. And it's such a big topic that unpacking it alone is daunting as a task.
daunting is the word. I mean, you mentioned, but 5 years from now, it's sort of like 5 minutes from now, people are Googling things.
Oh, God.
And it's not 5 years. 5 years from now, I don't know where we will be. But
it changes so quickly.
It's instantaneous.
Yep. And, you know, look, it's important for me to mention here about technology because I've been involved in technology for a long time. I started working as an analyst when I left university. I came out as a certified Microsoft engineer after finishing an English degree, which I didn't know what I was going to do with. And by getting into technology, I found a love for it. I found a passion for it. And that's never left me, even though I'm in education. But technology and social media in particular can infringe on our rights so easily because we're so quick these days to give away ourselves. We give away our images, our words, our thoughts, our stories. I mean, giving away our locations on a regular basis,
right,
just carrying our phones around.
That's,
you know,
true.
We tell people our job titles, we put our CVs online, and we even say, like on you know, platforms like Facebook, who we're connected to. This is my cousin, this is my mother, this is my father. So we've now told these companies how our lives work.
Right.
And part of me loves that. You know, part of me loves the fact that I can book a ticket to go and see my mother in Ghana, and it comes up on my Google Calendar with the flight details and the dates I'm traveling, so I know what I'm doing. I love that element of it. But I can also see the dangers. You know, it plays such a huge role in our lives now that we're bound by it. And how many people actually bothered to read the small print? You know, how many people care?
I don't think anybody. I don't know if you can't read it because you can't see it.
You know what I mean? So
I know that.
What if
know
this information that we're so freely giving away is used to sort of manipulate us and those around us for the sake of profit or, I'd say even worse, political gain?
Right.
You know, and we're seeing that. It is a reality. This isn't something I'm making up. It's around us now. For most of us, at least in part, we now form our opinions from what, you know, of what is right and wrong on the topics that trend.
And we that's see, everywhere in the world. That's not any
absolutely.
One locality. That's everywhere.
It's huge, and it's not going away.
No.
So you know, we have to learn to advocate for ourselves, and we have to defend our sort of thoughts, our values, our traditions as societies, as families, as individuals, and that has to start with helping young people understand the value of their image, the value of their brand, their thoughts. And that's why I think, you know, tying it back to the post, that's why I think that resonated so much. I think deep down, we know this, we feel it's coming. And we're looking for ways in which we can protect it and put sort of, you know, some rules around it so that we're protected.
No, and I agree with you, because what you've given in that post, actually you've given me an element that I can go back to my own business groups. And part of that discussion, say, hey, you remember when we were talking about ethics in business, ethics in artificial intelligence, we were basically talking about a relationship between companies and clients, basically, all right? Users or whatever you want to call it. But what really struck me is the fact that even in that sense, nobody ever thinks about a four-year-old.
This is it.
And that's it. So he said, well, you know, he's only becomes a person. When does a person become a people? Is that 16 when he can drive in some places? Is it 18? Is it 21?
You know,
it's four. It's two.
You know, what it's such a it's such a gray area. There are no absolute answers. So look, I got a lot of comments from that. I got a lot of messages in my inbox about it. And I had some fantastic conversations and I've met some great people through it, but there's another side to it. So I got one message from a school principal who said to me, look, I absolutely understand the need to teach agency and to let children understand that they have rights and they do have a voice. But where does it end? You know, and the word he used was it's exhausting. You know, when you've got 1,200 kids in a school, are you going to take a picture of them on a sports day, which you want to publicize? And let's face it, for international schools especially, which is where I work, school is a business. It needs advertising.
Well, school's a business anywhere.
Absolutely. It's a business. Absolutely. You know, learning is a business. And you know, if we're going to have to take permission from every child whose face can be roughly seen in the picture, where does it end? Mm-hmm. Where do all the policies and the signatures end? You know, it is exhausting. And I see his point in this. And I think that, you know, through the conversation we had, we came to an agreement that it's not so much the logistics behind whether or not this needs to be done. It's the ethics behind whether or not this needs to be done.
That's the word.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it is their right. It is their image. And what we need to do at least is allow them the chance to learn that they do have the right to protect that. Mm-hmm. That's what's important. Most children will say, hey, it's okay. It's okay. I have no problem with it. But to think, well, they're small, so they don't understand, so let's just ignore it, is unethical. They right. are people. They might be people who are developing. They might be people who haven't formulated a life view yet. But along that journey, they should have the chance to be able to discuss to whatever level they can understand the things that will affect them today and may affect them in the future at their level. And I think even for a four-year-old, we can now see that there are some things that they do understand. They understand
completely.
When something hurts, that they should have had a say in whether they were in the place which caused them the pain, whether they were, whether they'd given permission to give some part of themselves, which they now want to retract mm-hmm. or not. And if a four-year-old can do that, then, you know, I think we've got to stop looking at kids the way we do and start respecting. And this is what it's about. It's about respect. It's about respect. It's about ethics. Let's start respecting each other a little bit more and let's start having conversations. I think that's, you know, this is the important thing. It's the conversation around it, which is what we're doing now, which is why this is so important.
Well, many people think that, you know, kids can't talk. They can't converse. They can say things. But they can't just sit around the dinner table anymore. I mean, most people don't even sit around a dinner table, but they have to have a discussion. No, but that's part of it. Or maybe the kid can send me a text. But technology is advancing. You mentioned education is about technology. The plus side, if during the pandemic, if technology hadn't come to sort of a rescue, many children throughout the world, many people throughout the world would have been excluded. They could have been included because they were locked away in a home or somewhere, it was quarantined. So right. that was another awakening. So the technology sort of exploded, partially because of the pandemic. Children were wherever they were. Children became online. So
absolutely.
4-year-olds were online. Everybody, you know, teachers adjusting, schools adjusting, parents adjusting. Many parents adjusting to try to run their own business at home and help their kids study and talking to teachers and feeding the dog.
Absolutely.
Everything's happening. So, but the ethics portion really hasn't been identified across all of that. That was sort of, I think, my personal view, sort of secondary, because we felt, well, the challenge of involving everybody and keeping things going was more important. But the resonation, and back to Ali, whether he felt pain from the bullying, whether it was bullying or not, that's not the question. The question is, his picture's up there. Nobody asked him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, this is, it's, you know, you mentioned our attitude towards this. I think traditionally, I mean, growing up for me, I don't know about you, but growing up for me, things were different. You know, you did what you were told and you were told to respect your elders
right.
and that was it.
Right.
You know, your voice didn't carry much weight. Now, I'm not saying that my upbringing was bad. I was raised by a single mother. She was brilliant. But she did not sort of, she expected respect, but did not reciprocate that in terms of hearing out my views and opinions. And that's kind of what she was taught growing up. And, right. you know, I can't put it down. It was fine. I grew up, I'm okay. But the danger is, what if I did carry that for the rest of my life? What right. if I felt that I couldn't speak up right. because my voice didn't matter? What if I didn't advocate for things which mattered to me, you know, for injustices that I saw? And what if I carried the idea that, well, this is how it is, so just leave it. None of us want that. None of us want that for anyone. We love advocacy. We want to advocate for things that matter to us. And the only way that that is going to become something which everyone can do is if we explicitly teach it and start like we do with everything else, which is important when kids are young.
Yeah,
you know, by encouraging them, by giving them a seat at the table. You know, I know the United Nations have started this. It started some time ago with the Convention on the Rights of the Child. I've read about that. I've read about all this since that post. We're trying. But I think the discussion needs to be much wider. It needs to enter into schools. It needs to enter into, you know, discussions around the dinner table. And it's something which I think we'll all benefit from if we can at least make it an open discussion, and don't forget to invite the children to that discussion.
I agree, and it's generational, because previously we would talk about younger persons when they were teenagers, right? Where the teenage yeah. phase of anything, when they're a teen, they sort of start having their own opinions and things, and that's true. And we, you know, millions of people talk about millions of teens. But again, to what we said, the four-year-old has become today's teen.
Oh, absolutely.
The teens have become older. The teens are maybe obsolete in that.
They know a lot more than we did. They're a lot more worldly mm-hmm. than we were, I believe. I mean, I've got teenage daughters who, you know, I have real high level discussions with, discussions that I couldn't have had with myself at that age mm-hmm. because I wasn't as worldly. They know more about different cultures. They know more about the rights of people. They know more about geographical locations they haven't even visited. They know more about the events which go on around the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the message here is listen to kids, give them a chance, give right. them a seat at the table. You know, it doesn't have to be all the time and for every policy, but when the opportunity arises, you know, where it directly affects them, like the use of their image, have the conversation. You know, it might not result in a change of policy, but the discussion at least will give everyone a chance to learn how we can make the learning environment a better place.
And I agree. It's not only just giving them a chance, it's acknowledging, like you did, that they have a right.
Absolutely.
So that's...
Absolutely.
That's a difference.
Absolutely, yeah. We're already on the back foot on that. And, you know, I started the discussion with Ali with an apology. And that's kind of where we have to start with this. You know what I mean?
I would like to have seen Ali go home and, you know, kick down the door and get his parents around and say, hey, but that's another story, right?
I've actually spoken to his parents about the post. And they're so proud of him, first of all, for having that sort of voice. And they're also proud of the school and the school community for you know, for advocating for that kind of agency, you know, mm-hmm. and for giving children a voice. And, you know, we're all sort of proud of the environment that we've created at the school. You know, hopefully this is something which, you know, now as a family, mm-hmm. They can build on, you know, and, you know, we can all learn from it, I think.
Well, without a doubt. And I think, well, that's what teaching is all about, learning.
Yeah.
And I think the reaction, the feedback we've all gotten and seen through your post is really, you know, how whatever we do resonates. Ali brought that to everybody's attention. So absolutely. I want to thank you for being here, but I want to extend that and thank him
you so much
for exercising the right that he has. So.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom.
Well, Sam, where can our listeners find you? Where's the best place?
Well, yeah, find me on LinkedIn. I think it's probably the best place. I think you're going to be putting the profile link maybe in the comments.
I'm going to post the link to the post, because I think for anybody to follow the context that we just talked about, and they say there's a picture's worth a thousand words. There's a picture in that post, which is striking in itself. So.
Which I have his permission for, by the way.
I hope so. I don't even ask that. But
I've got to cover that. He said yes.
Anyway, thanks again, Sam.
It's been a pleasure, Tom. Thank you very much for inviting me, and it's been an honor talking to you.
Thank you. And then for our listeners, it is Sam Welbeck, S-A-M, and the last name is W-E-L-B-E-C-K. You'll find him on LinkedIn as I did. And again, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Focus MI Market Intelligence. Focus MI specializes in market research for the Brazilian agricultural market. And more about them on their site, focusmi.com. Talk to Brazil podcast can be found on all major platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google, TuneIn, Amazon, JioSaven, YouTube, and many others. So remember, when you talk to Tom, you talk to Brazil and the world. Goodbye, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Tom Riach on Talk to Brazil, the business connector to Brazil.